त्वक्त्वा कर्मफलासङ्गम् नित्यतृप्तो निराशया कर्मण्या अभिवृतितो अपि नैव किञ्चित् करोति सः त्यक्त्वा हैविंग गिवन अप कर्मफल असंगम अटैचमेंट फॉर फ्रूटिव रिजल्ट्स नित्य ऑलवेज तृप्त बीइंग सेटिस्फाइड निराश्रया विदाउट एनी शेल्टर कर्मणि इन एक्टिविटी अभिप्रावृतः बीइंग फुली एंगेज अपि इन स्पाइट ऑफ ना डज नॉट एव सर्टेनली किंचित एनीथिंग करोति डू सह हे ट्रांसलेशन बाय शीला प्रभुपाद शीला प्रभुपाद की अबंडनिंग ऑल अटैचमेंट to the result of his activities, ever satisfied and independent. He performs no fruitive action, although engaged in all kinds of undertakings. Parpar by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This freedom from the bondage of action is possible only in Krishna consciousness. When one is doing everything for Krishna, a Krishna conscious person acts out of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he has no attraction for the results of the actions. He is not even attached to his personal maintenance, for everything is left to Krishna. Nor is he obnoxious to secure things, nor to protect things already in his possession. He does his duties to the best of his ability and leaves everything to Krishna. Such an unattached person is always free from the resultant reactions of good and bad. It is as though he were not doing anything. This is the sign of a karma, or action without fruitive reactions. Any other action, therefore devoid of Krishna consciousness, is binding upon the worker, and that is the real aspect of vikarma, as explained him before. Bolo Guruve, Guruve, Gaur Chandraye, Radhikaye, Tadalaye, Krishnaye, Krishna Bhaktaye, Tad Bhaktaye, Namo Namaha. Do you know this mantra? Prabhuji, this is the mantra from Rupa Goswami has written one book in which he has compiled so many shlokas. Forgetting the name immediately from my mind script. But in that book, this particular shloka is actually, the source is unknown. Otherwise, so many shlokas Rupa Goswami path has taken from different acharyas, and he has compiled them. I'm forgetting the name. But in that, this is the mantra. Let me tell you the meaning. Guruve means Gurudev. Gaurachandraye means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radhikaye, Radharani. Tadalaye means Radharani ki associates. Krishnaye, Krishna. Krishna Bhaktaye, devotees of the Lord. Tad Bhaktaye, and the devotees of his devotees. Namo Namaha. So let me pay obeisances to Guru, Gurang, Radharani, Radharani's associate, Krishna, Krishna's devotees, and his devotees to everybody. So this is the one shloka which contains everybody. So it's a very important shloka. If we can memorize this, and we can chant every day, now and then, whenever we get up, or before going off to sleep. So it's a very powerful mantra. And I have seen that this mantra is actually containing everybody. So it's a very short form to remember everyone. So one more time. Guruve Gaure Chandraye Radhikaye Tadalaye Krishnaye Krishna Bhaktaye Tadbhaktaye Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. We are very fortunate that we are in the family of Srila Prabhupada. We are very fortunate that we are sitting in front of Panchatattva and hearing Bhagavad Gita. As we always say, Bhagavad Gita is actually direct words of Krishna. So, last time when we were discussing about the karmas, sakarma, karma, vikarma, different karmas we have. And it's just not a very far shloka from that particular shloka. Before that, Krishna is saying in the 17th shloka that the intricacies of actions are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what is inaction is. So Krishna again saying that it's very difficult because gehana karmana gati. The karma ki gati is very gehan. You never know when you're doing what and when you're getting entangled in what. So we need to watch for our actions always. Then we discuss one who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men, and he is the transcendental, he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sort of activities. So again it has been said that, you know, the person who is properly situated, he knows what is right and what is wrong, and all his actions he look for it, whether this particular activity is going to entangle me or this activity is going to free me. We have a very good example, Bharat Maharaj. We all know his story, how he was actually on the platform of Bhav, and he saw the deer was in trouble, and he just protected the deer, and after protecting he started thinking that he is the proprietor or he is the savior of that deer, and he gets so entangled, so attached, that one day he was sitting in his meditation and that deer was actually kind of scratching him with his horns, and he was getting a little disturbed, and he just chased him away. And then he started meditating, and then immediately his meditation broke. He thought, where is he? And he started looking for him. And he was looking for him immediately in his consciousness. In that consciousness, he fell and he died. And when he was dying, he was actually thinking about that deer. The person who was actually at the stage of bhav, atho shraddha tatha sadhu sangha bhajan kriya anartha nivriti, then nishtha, unflinching faith, ruchi, asakti, bhav, and prem. We know all these things as different stages in bhakti. But Prabhuji, some acharyas, they say that this is actually shraddha. Shraddha is just like a milk. You got raw milk and you have put it on the gas. Right? So, atho shraddha, when shraddha is burning, then you, when your shraddha is pick up, shraddha becomes pure, then your sadhu sang start. When your sadhu sang starts, then your bhajan kriya starts. And if you see, but it actually happens in a different way. First we come to his Krishna consciousness, we see devotees, we eat prasadam, we associate with devotees first, then we chant. Then our slowly we develop faith in Krishna, or we develop faith in our scriptures, right? Sometimes we think in this way, no? But it's actually, everything starts from Shraddha. Shraddha is a beej which is already in our heart. Shraddha, sadhu sang, bhajan kriya, anarth nivriti. Anarth nivriti is a stage which is like a kind of ocean, which is very, very, very difficult to cross. then when our anarthas are kind of not completely gone, because anarthas, they stay with us till the stage of bhav. You see, when Bharat Maharaj, he still had one of the anartha left. Like one time, one disciple was walking with his guru, and his guru said, "Say, Gurudev, nothing is there." Means guru was actually checking whether do you have abhiman in your heart, in your mind or not. I want to check whether you have abhiman in your mind or not. Gurudev, there is no abhiman. He said, "You think there is no abhiman? This is the abhiman. This is your false ego, that you think that you don't have any false ego." So it's very subtle. So same way anartha. We don't know which anartha we are carrying and how are we carrying. And then, you know, at the stage of nishtha, then asakti, ruchi, asakti, then bhav. At the stage of bhav also, Bharat Maharaj had some little tinge of anartha. And that particular anarth made him so much entangled that he, the one who left such a big kingdom, such a beautiful wife, so many beautiful children, everybody used to love him, and he was a successful king. He left everything in search of the Lord, and because of the small anartha, he got entangled and he forgot what exactly what he was supposed to do. And for that again he had to take birth as a deer, then again he had to take birth as a Jada Bharat, and then he was able to attain perfection. So it says that Shraddha is actually kind of milk. When you keep the milk on the gas, you start boiling it. When it's becoming thicker. When the Shraddha is completely in the form of peda, khoya, you know, khoya, the final stage of milk which comes, right? That is called prema. So our Shraddha should be strong. And when we improve our Shraddha in the words of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, automatically we started getting free from different anarthas. And then we automatically reach up to the stage of anartha nivritti, then nishtha. At least we should be on the level of nishtha. Unless we are on the level of nishtha, means unflinching faith, we cannot expect that our bhakti has even started yet. Because bhakti starts after the stage of nishtha in one way. Because nishtha is the place where, you know, you're kind of at one point you're secure. At least you have unflinching faith in Lord. That Lord is Lord. This is not the simple idol. Mahaprabhu was actually been installed in it. Nityanand Prabhu was actually been installed in it. So now he is Nityanand Prabhu himself. Mahaprabhu himself. And then one is understood to be in full knowledge, whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge. Same way, when we have unflinching faith, automatically we come to that level where our anarthas start getting vanished. Then today's shloka says, abandoning all attachment to the result of his activities, ever satisfied and independent, he performs no fruiting activity, although engaged in all kinds of undertaking. We had a discussion on this also the other day. There are so many kings, like both very small example. We have a very famous shloka, Sarva Dharman Paritajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vaja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Shyami Ma Sucha. Then there is another shloka which comes before that. That is also a very important shloka. Man Mana Man Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mame Vaishvai Satyamte Pratijani Priyosime. So in that Krishna saying, always think of me. That's a very higher stage. Okay, you cannot do that? Become my devotee. Always thinking of Krishna, is a very higher stage. Okay, at least just become my devotee. Okay, you cannot do that? Worship me. At least worship me. Okay, if you cannot even worship me, at least offer your homage to me. At least pay obeisances to me. Right? Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita. Now, if we see the site of Kurukshetra war, except Arjun, everybody could pay obeisances to Krishna. Because Arjun was the only one person who was standing behind Krishna. And we don't pay obeisances from behind to the Lord. Right? All the Panch Pandavas and Kauravas were in front. More conducive position. And everybody could like come and could pay obeisances to Krishna. But Arjun was the only one who could not. We have heard this story also. I'm sure you must have heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time he was in south and he saw one person was crying and everybody was laughing. He was giving some katha on Bhagavad Gita and everybody was laughing at him. What's wrong with him? Why is he crying? Then Mahaprabhu asked him, why are you crying? He said, I am just thinking, look at the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Because the man who operates chariot, because it's too loud when the war is going on. It's too loud. You cannot hear. So if you have to go left, the person will kick on your left ear. And then the chariot driver will move to left. And if he has to go right, then he will get the kick from the person on your right side. Then he will move there. And if he has to go straight, then this particular thing, he actually hit on his back, upper back. So Krishna was actually getting the kicks from Arjun to move left, to move right, to go straight, to stop. So he was crying to see that how Krishna is bhaktavatsal, that to protect his devotee he had taken such position in which he was been actually kicked by his own disciple or his own devotee. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are the actually right person, you have actually understood the real essence of Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is bhaktavatsal. So, Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, this particular shlok says that if you cannot do anything, at least pay obeisances to me. And I will protect you no matter what. But Arjun was the only one person who could not pay obeisances to Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is saying that the person who is actually close to me or understand me, is all the actions are actually for the pleasure of me. And all his reactions gets burned. We have a very beautiful shloka in our Shishtashtakam. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. Kavita mam jagadish kamye. Mam jagadish kamye. Mam janmani janmanishvare. Bhavatad bhaktir he tukitvai. Anybody is from the army background here? Were you ever in army? You? Were you ever in navy? Anybody from navy background? No. Actually in navy it happens. I don't know about army or not, but navy it happens. Whenever you are lost in the ocean. Now that we have technology. Earlier days, whenever anybody used to get lost in the ocean, and suppose there is a, you know, jwar bhata or what do you call it? Turbulence or whatever is there, and you are lost in the sea, and you were going in certain direction, what they used to see? You know what they used to see? Pole star. So, na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. Kavita mam jagadish kamye, mam janmani janmanishvare, bhavatad bhaktir ahetuki tvai, is actually the pole star of devotees. Whether the bhakti of our bhakti, the boat of our bhakti is going in the right direction or not, we should always and always look at this particular shloka. We should always try to meditate on the meaning of this particular shloka. Just like when you're lost in the ocean, pole star could give you the navigation. That this is north and then you have to go to east or west, whatever. Same way where we have to attain bhakti, where we have to go in bhakti, which direction we have to go in bhakti, we can only understand by reading this particular shloka. And that's what Krishna is saying here, abandoning all attachment to the result of his activities. Ever satisfied and independent, he performs no fruitive actions, although engaged in all kind of undertakings. Prabhupada is saying, he is not even attached to his personal maintenance. For everything, everything is left to Krishna. Nor is he obnoxious to secure things, nor to protect things already in his possession. He does his duty to the best of his ability and leaves everything to Krishna. We chant one prayer now. Golokera Premadhara Hari Nam Sankirtana. Hari Hari Vifale Janam Guainu. You chant this shloka, this bhajan? It's a very beautiful bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur, yes. Hari Hari Vifale Janam Guainu. Manushya Janam Paya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya. Janiya Suniya Vish Khainu. Hari Hari Vifale Janam Guainu. Hari Hari, please listen to me, I have wasted my life. I have got this body of a human being. Manushya Janam Paya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya. I have not worshipped you, Radha Krishna. Janiya Suniya Vish Khainu. Actually, I have committed suicide. I'm committing suicide by not chanting the holy name of the Lord. And then he says, next line, Golokera Premadhana Hari Nam Sankirtana Ratina Janmilo Bhelotar. Means, this is, he's saying, Golokera Premadhana Hari Nam Sankirtana. Actually, Hari Nam Sankirtana is the Premadhana of Golok Vrindavan. What is Dhan? Now here the Dhan comes. Because this is Prabhupada is mentioning that he does his duties to his best of ability and leaves everything to Krishna. And he is not attached to accumulating so much of wealth for himself. Now, we have to understand this particular thing in two ways. One thing, yes, we have to surrender to Krishna completely. But when we are getting opportunity sometime to do some services, that is also the indication from Krishna himself. Sometimes, some devotees are very rich. Like Alfred Ford Prabhu, right? Ambarish Prabhu, such a rich person. Prabhupada never said you leave everything and become brahmachari. Why? He knew that. Everybody was born to do some purpose, right? To fulfill some purpose. Dhan, what is dhan? Dhan means wealth. Why do we need wealth? Whole life, an ordinary man is trying so hard to accumulate more and more dhan, more and more money, thinking, oh, when I will have a bad time, then this dhan will be helpful for me. Now Krishna was thinking, let me not give any kind of bad time to this guy. Let him have good life, you know, from the time to birth till his last day, let him have a good life. But we are, while accumulating wealth, we are thinking about bad time, and then Krishna has to give us bad time, you know. And the dhan which we have accumulated, it goes away. And dhan is actually, it's a kind of thing which comes in your life, and it takes away whatever you have also. Just like the waves in the ocean, they come to us, and whatever is there on the at the beach, at the shore of the ocean, it takes that back also, along with it. Same way, but with Goloka Peram Prema Dhanva, Hari Nama Sankirtana. But you know, dhan, which is there in Golok, that is Hari Nama Sankirtana. But this particular dhan which we are talking about, this particular dhan was always and always there for our bad only. Like, it doesn't mean that we should never make money or we should never live in a proper way. It is not like that. We should always try, but we should always keep Krishna in the center. That's what Prabhupada is trying to explain in this. This is a sign of a karma or action without fruitive reactions. when we are doing everything for the pleasure of the Lord, we are not going to have any kind of reaction to it. And we have a very good example, Srila Prabhupada. He was completely selfless. And that doesn't mean that he never studied. He studied in his school. He was trying to do his business properly. He was trying to make a very good, his pharmacy. He wanted that pharmacy to run properly. And when it didn't run, he was happy. He was not very attached. This is a very good example of selflessness. So we should all be selfish. And if you want to be selfish, be selfless. The more you think less about yourself, more you're thinking about yourself, actually indirectly. Then in 4th canto, this is 20th verse of 4th chapter, but 4th canto, 20th chapter, 31st verse, Pritho Maharaj is saying, "My Lord, due to your illusory energy, all living beings in this material world have forgotten their real constitutional position. And out of ignorance, they are always desirous of material happiness in the form of society, friendship and love. Therefore, please do not ask me to take some material benefit from you. But as a father, not waiting for the son's demand, does everything for the benefit of the son, please bestow upon me whatever you think best for me." And in that also Prabhupada is saying, "Na dhanam na janam na sundari." Prabhupada is mentioning, Pritho Maharaj therefore tells the Lord that as the Supreme Father, He may elect to bestow whatever He considers beneficial for Pritho Maharaj. That is the perfection position of the living entity. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us Shishtashkam and say, "Na dhanam na janam na sundari." O mighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor have I any desire to enjoy beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. The conclusion is that the pure devotee should not aspire after any material benefit from devotional service, nor should he be enamored by fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. He should always be engaged favorably in the service of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. So it is also a statement, the best to know what Krishna wants is to hear from Guru. Because sometimes we get confused. Like there's a very famous story you must have heard. There was a flood. And flood was up to the first floor. And you know, there was one boat came and he said one man, "Hey, please come, let me just come. Come with me. I'm here to protect you." He said, No, Lord will come and He will protect me." Right? And then slowly the water level was going up. And there was a time when the helicopter came. I said, No, I want Lord to come and protect me." And he drawn into the water. And when he died and when he went up, and he said, like, "Lord, why you did not come to protect me?" Lord said, "Stupid, I was the one who sent those 2-3 people, right, to protect you." So same way, we don't know what is right, what is wrong for us. What is entangling us in fruitive activities? What is freeing us from fruitive activities? So who is the best person who can guide us is our Guru. One time, one Maharaj, when Sadhu was giving katha, and he asked, "Have you ever heard the sound of the flute of Krishna?" And everybody was looking at, you know, each other. No, nobody ever heard in Vrindavan. You're living in Vrindavan since so many years and you've never heard the sound of the flute of Krishna. No. He said, "What happened when Krishna played his flute?" When Krishna played his flute, all the gopis, they left everything. All their family, their friends, whatever they had, everything they were leaving, they left and they were going towards Krishna. He said, "Have you done something like this to some extent or not?" He said, yes, Maharaj, yes, we've done something like this. He said, how have you done it? "Because Srila Prabhupada said to us to do it." Right? Prabhupada said that Krishna Bhakti is Sarvopari. That's the perfection, pure perfection. And we followed the instruction of Srila Prabhupada and automatically we became selfless. We couldn't understand when actually our mindset has become that we become self-satisfied with whatever we have. It's by actually and getting the instruction from Guru. Well, Guru is the only one person who can guide us in a proper way, what is the fruitive activity and what is the non-fruitive activity, and how to perfect, how to perform all our actions. Let me narrate you a very small story. There was one thief. His name was Kallu Chor. He was very famous Kallu Chor. He used to steal so many things. One day he saw one group of sadhus were going there. And he was very happy to be with sadhus. And he went to his Guru Maharaj. And he said, Gurudev, please give me initiation. He said, do you know you have to follow 4 regulative principles? He said, what 4 regulative principles? He said, no woman, no wine, no gambling, and no meat eating. Gurudev, this I cannot do. I am a thief. And I can steal very little. Right? I can steal very little. And whatever small I steal, that is not sufficient for my family. So I have to do some gambling to multiply that money. And when I am doing some gambling, I cannot concentrate unless I have taken little wine and eaten a little bit of non-veg or whatever, that is party, you know. And sometimes when I get too much drunk, then I have to associate with another woman also. I'm so sorry. But I cannot, Gurudev, leave all these 4 things. This Gurudev was very happy to see his honesty. You see, we all have a duplicitous nature. We always even ask questions sometimes to impress our Guru. Right? How many of us are really going to our Guru with the pure anarthas we have? Or you can say, without the covering of fake attitude or covering of our crookedness. Hardly anybody goes. We all have a same story, We all want to go to Guru to impress Guru, to tell him what we have done, what we have achieved, So he said this thing to his Guru and Guru was very happy. He said, okay, just follow one instruction of mine, that never lie in life. The Guru there, okay, I will never lie. This I can do, no problem. So one day he had decided to steal in the castle of the king. And he entered in that. And the place where he used to keep money, the king was very depressed and very tense sitting there that, all my people in my kingdom, they are corrupted. I don't know what to do. How can I help people who are living in my kingdom? He was very sad and he was very, 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 he was in deep thought. Immediately that Kallu Chor clashed with him. Who is this? The king asked, who is this? Who is this? He said, who you are? He said, first you tell me who you are. So Kallu Chor said, okay, you came first, so let me tell you that I'm Kallu Chor and I'm here to steal. Because my Gurudev said, never lie, huh? The king, it was too dark and he didn't understand that it was king. King said, I'm also a thief. He said, okay. He said, where do you live, Kallu Chor? He said, have you seen that mountain? He said, yes. After you cross the mountain, there's a river. He said, yes. After crossing the river, there's a tree. Yes. There's a tree. Behind that, there's a Kali Mata Mandir. He said, yes. Just behind that, there's another tree. Okay. And there I live. So, okay. Why are you here? He said, you tell me who you are. Then king said, I'm also another thief. And I'm also here to steal. He said, do you know how to break the lock? Then he said, yeah, I know how to break the lock. And Kallu Chor said, I am very good in mathematics. So you break the lock and whatever is there, we will just do half distribution of everything. He said, okay. And like king was like, understanding like what exactly he wants to do. He was just trying to see the situation. So he opened the lock because he knew how to open the lock. And then they both started distributing things. And after taking everything, there was very, very precious diamond inside the treasure. And he said, please don't take this. Although our king is a completely corrupted person, and our king's kingdom, all his administrative staff is also completely corrupted, let us leave something for him, so that he can at least understand that all wealth, whatever he has, can be stolen one day, and whatever he has, he will try to do something for his people. And king was very impressed with his honesty. And then, he left that diamond there. And next day, again, he called all his administrative staff. He said, today I want to go in, go to my citizens, to my people, and I want to distribute some wealth. He asked his minister, can you just go and check whether we have enough of money in the treasure box or not? He said, okay. He went there and he saw that it's open and everything has been stolen. And he thought, who is this stupid guy who left this particular precious stone? And he took that stone, he kept it in his pocket. And he came to him, Maharaj, anarth ho gaya. Anarth means, Maharaj, something bad happened. What happened? Maharaj, somebody has stolen everything from our kingdom. He said, is it? He said, yes. I know, I think, who the thief is. You go to this mountain, after crossing mountain, there's a river. After crossing river, there's a tree. Behind the tree, there is one Kali Mata Mandir. And behind Kali Mata, there's another tree. Beneath that tree, there is a kutiya where that kallu chori is sleeping. Go and pick him up and bring him here. So everybody, like, you know, all his sipahi, you say, the soldiers, they went there and they brought him in front of the king. And he said, did you steal yesterday? He said, Maharaj, my Gurudev said, never lie. Yes, of course. I stole yesterday everything, whatever he was there. But I'm telling you, Maharaj, I was not alone. There was somebody else with me also. He said, forget about it. You stole everything. You did not leave anything. He said, no, Maharaj, I have taken only small things. The most precious diamond, I left it there for you. So that you can use it. You know? And he said, but you know, my minister is saying that you have stolen everything. He said, Maharaj, he has stolen everything. Just check him. He said, no. You tell me. Then Kallu Chor said, no, Maharaj, he is lying. Why don't you check him? And Maharaj said, okay. The king knew that he is a corrupted person. King said, his soldiers, can you just check him? And when they check on his minister, they found that diamond. And Maharaj said, put him in jail. And he said, Kallu Chor, would you like to become my minister? So, you know, Kallu Chor was happy, okay. Now, he became a minister. His salary was so much that he didn't have to steal. He didn't have to go and play do gambling. He didn't have to drink. He didn't have to associate with wrong women. And he got all the facilities, everything, and then started living his life properly. So just by following one instruction of his guru, how he has developed his whole life. And it's not a story, it's a day-to-day life. You know, have you seen movie Karate Kid? Karate Kid, the child goes to the teacher, please teach me karate, I want to learn karate. He said, okay, you know, you have to clean the windows, like this and like this. Like this and like this. And he's been doing it for like weeks. And then he said, why don't you teach me karate? Why are you teaching me all this? You're just getting me clean the whole house of yours, you know. He said, but you know, if I attack you, he attacked him and immediately he sees how he protects him. So whatever is instruction given by our guru, sometimes may we like it, may we not like it. But it's all for the purification. And everything, whatever skills we are developing, is actually going to help us. And what activity is entangling us and what activity will free us from the material bondage can be only understood when we are completely surrendered to a guru. So it's very important to have that understanding. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment? Anandabhu, any comment? Yeah, so if we want to be selfish, we have to be selfless. The more selfless we are, more selfish we can be. But that doesn't mean we should not do our duties. We should always perform our duties, whatever is required. Right? If Lalit Prabhu says, I want to just do bhajan, I'm not going to make lasagna anymore, who's going to make lasagna for us? Right? Or any example. If everybody thinks that, okay, let me do bhajan, and let me not cook, or let me not do pujari seva, or let me not clean the temple, or let me not clean the ashram, then how is it going to happen? So whatever work has been assigned to us, there's a reason behind it, and whenever we are doing all these things, they're actually purifying us, because we are actually doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. And we are not expecting anything in exchange of that. Right? Hare Krishna.